For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
TFA fam, what is going on? Thank you for joining us for another early look at the week waivers and streams on a week six. Do want to mention before we jump into it and Kev hit you with the quarterback streams for week six, we do have buys starting this week. So we have the Lions, Raiders, Titans, and Texans all on buy this week. So not a terrible bye week. I'm sure we have, I haven't looked ahead to see if we have one of those bipocalypse coming up. But this week isn't too bad, but, with the way that some things have gone in some of these positions, never good to take out some of the players from the player pool. But Kev, quarterback, what you got for week six, buddy, old friend, old pal?
Yeah, here we are. We are heading into week six, and we are staring at the barrel of Geno Smith being a QB1 so far through this, right? And, he played another great game again today, completed 60-25 for 268 yards and three touchdowns. They get the Cardinals this week, which is a really good matchup against that defense that's not very good. And then after that, they get at the Chargers, and then they get the Giants, and again, once again, against the Cardinals again over the next 4 weeks. He's now scored 17 or more fantasy points in 4 of the 5 weeks he's played, and he's just been really good. And so he's only rostered in 35% of Yahoo leagues. And at this point, if you're starting a Matt Stafford or Russell Wilson, you're starting to get to the point where Geno Smith isn't looking too bad. And so while, he's not a sexy name, he does have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and both of them have played really well so far to start the year. And those two have really been steals for where they were drafted at, because nobody thought this team was going to be any good. And Geno Smith continues to prove everybody wrong. So until things change, I think he is a viable, kind of high-end QB2, low-end QB1 in a lot of these matchups, which is crazy to think, but here we are. So next up, I want to talk about Daniel Jones versus Baltimore, and he completed 21 of 27 passes for 217 yards. He also rushed 10 times for 41 yards today. This isn't a sexy play, but heading into this week, he is top five in carries, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns so far to start the season, and ranked seventh in fantasy points per dropback on the year. He was also 13th in fantasy points per game. Baltimore also allows the fourth most fantasy points to quarterbacks. That's who they play this week. So he's only rostered in 22% of leagues. So if you're looking for a quarterback, and as much as he runs the football, Daniel Jones kind of makes a little bit of sense, and he's doing it with no weapons, none absolutely. Guys like Wandell Robinson and Kadarius Toney continue to miss time. And, he's been doing it with Richie James and Daniel Bellinger. And, obviously Saquon Barkley has been fantastic as well. But, Daniel Jones, if he's going to continue to keep running the ball this much, is going to raise his floor to be a viable fantasy option. So Daniel Jones, I think, is definitely an option this week. And then you have Carson Wentz, who I don't love this. Really, I had both quarterbacks from this game, but Thursday Night Football, today he completed 25 of 38 for 359 yards and two touchdowns for 22.8 fantasy points. He did throw a brutal interception, late in the game that sealed the deal for them. But Wentz does have 3 20-plus fantasy points performances. He is a hard-to-trust QB2 against the Bears, but, if you're desperate for a quarterback, Carson Wentz is an option. And then you have Justin Fields, who has completed 15 of 21 for 208 and a score. Really looked dead in the water in the first half against the Vikings, and then came alive in the second half. He also rushed 8 times for 47 yards. And the thing is with Fields is they're just not trusting him to throw the football. He has not thrown the ball more than 22 times in a single game so far to start the year, and obviously did not hit that mark again today. But he has averaged 8.5 carries per game and almost 40 rushing yards per game. So the Commanders have allowed the 7th most fantasy points to the quarterback on the season. So again, not a sexy name. And I was actually surprised he's rostered in 38% of leagues. I thought that number would be significantly lower. I don't know if that's just dead leagues that haven't made any move. Cause like, I don't know. I know there's Superflex leagues out there, but I don't think they're that popular. But anyways, Justin Fields versus Washington this week is probably the other guy I would look to go to.
Let's move on to running backs. Obviously, the big piece of news here is the injury to Rashad Penny. Fractured tibia. Looks like he will be out for the season, if not, you know, missing a large chunk of time. So if Ken Walker is available in your leagues, he is the clear pickup this week. Was available in just over 50% of ESPN leagues. I think it was 53%. So he's likely gone in 10-team leagues and higher. But if he's there, he is the guy you want to grab. Next up, I'm going to mention Eno Benjamin as a priority ad. Now, this one we have to watch with some of the injury news that comes out. If we knew that Connor and Darrell Williams were going to be out for week six, I think I would move him into the must-add category. Just because there's nothing else. You're looking at, you know, him, Jonathan Ward, Keontae Ingram. I don't even know if he's been active for any of the games this year. But with both those guys out, they went directly to Eno Benjamin, ended up running 25 routes, saw 12 opportunities on 37 snaps, turned that into 53 yards and a score. So hopefully we'll get some of this news cleared up between now and Tuesday whenever you have to put in your claims, especially if you are using a FAB system. But if we get any sort of negative news, you know, Benjamin is obviously more widely available than Ken Walker is. So he is on the priority ad, but has the ability to be a must add depending on what ends up happening with Connor and Darrell Williams. And then outside of that, we're looking at kind of guys that are just, you know, handcuffs and stashes. I do want to mention Tevin Coleman. He is going to be the most widely available out of anyone I mentioned on this list, maybe outside of Caleb Huntley, but not necessarily chasing the points here, but he did see 11 opportunities on just 19 snaps. For reference, Jeff Wilson doubled that at 38 snaps. So just something to monitor here. We obviously know, you know, Tevin Coleman's history with Kyle Shanahan. We know Jeff Wilson's injury history. So just kind of worth monitoring here. And if you're in deeper leagues especially, or if you have those deep benches, you know, maybe somebody you want to throw on there. You know, guys like Tyler Algier, still rostered in sub 50% of leagues, but it's a crowded situation, kind of like I fear what was going to happen. Could he end up, you know, kind of running away with this? Sure, but that definitely was not the case today. Played 39 snaps compared to 17 and 16 for Avery Williams and Caleb Huntley. The only area where he was significantly ahead of those guys was in routes run, which is obviously a good sign. But other than that, this is a complete committee I kind of just want to stay away from, especially with, you know, how this offense has been performing. Kind of the same thing applies to Brian Robinson as well. His first game back after being shot in that attempted carjacking. I think this is going to be a mess, but it is interesting to note that while the snaps were pretty similar between Robinson and Antonio Gibson, Robinson did see 9 carries to Antonio Gibson's 3 in his first game back. So could this be another one situation where Brian Robinson kind of just runs away with it? Sure, but he's, you know, not super widely available, kind of right under that 50% mark. Mike Boone, I thought, looked pretty good on Thursday night, and, you know, maybe that was just the fact of how awful everything else looked. But he did play 41% of the snaps. He turned 10 touches into 85 yards. You know, I thought he had some pop and some juice. So that's another name you can look at. I think he's only rostered in like 24% of ESPN leagues. And then you're just looking at, you know, some other stash kind of guys. Rashad White was a little bit more involved than I thought he was going to be, but I still hold on to the thought that last week was absolutely just game script dependent on why we saw as much as we did from Rashad White. And then, you know, the Kansas City backfield with Pacheco and McKinnon. And then if you are in deep leagues and desperate, Caleb Huntley, like I mentioned, did split a bunch of those carries with Tyler Algier. So I think you can look to him as well, depending on your running back situation.
Yeah, and obviously we won't know, because obviously the Chiefs play tomorrow night, but I do think Pacheco should be rostered in all leagues. Like, he is a lottery ticket waiting to happen if something happens to CEH. And CEH has suffered, you know, a lot of injuries through his career too. And, you know, CEH is kind of has been a little bit of fool's gold compared to, you know, what his opportunities versus what he's done. But anyways, let's go ahead and move over to the wide receiver position. And for this week, I think there's a few names here that we should definitely should be looking at. One, I'm going to start with Jakobi Meyers. Returned against the Lions State, immediately showed why he's the team's wide receiver one. He hauled in 7 of 8 targets for 111 yards and a touchdown. Meyers, to me, Jakobi Meyers is a solid wide receiver 3 moving forward. He is definitely the best wide receiver in this group and continually has seen the most targets each and every week that he's healthy. He was rostered in, looks like, 45% of Yahoo leagues. So, you know, he is still pretty widely available in a lot of leagues, and especially if people maybe have dropped him after, you know, week one or two after the injury that he suffered where he missed a couple of weeks. So Jakobi Meyers is definitely worthy of an ad. You know, we kind of talked about him a lot offseason. He is a guy last year that finished as a top 36 wide receiver, but just wasn't being drafted that way. So really like Jakobi Meyers. I know this is a very bad offense for New England, but Jakobi Meyers looks like the best option of this group. And then you have Alec Pierce, who hauled in 8 passes on 9 targets for 81 yards against the Broncos on Thursday night. He has now received 20 targets over the last 3 games, and I think he looks locked in as the team's wide receiver too. And he has a great matchups moving forward with the Jags, Titans, and Washington over the next 3 weeks as well. So Alec Pierce looks like he's going to be that guy. He's only rostered 8% of leagues. So if he's sitting out there, he is somebody I definitely want to add as a wide receiver, especially with those matchups that he has coming forward. And then Zay Jones today, look, the Jaguars looked terrible today. They only scored 6 points. Jones was still targeted 8 times. He has seen 8 or more targets in 3 of the last 4 games that he has played. So while, you know, this was a very bad game for the Jaguars in general, Zay Jones only rostered 27% of leagues, and he looks like another viable option, maybe somebody that is like a wide receiver 4 kind of flex option moving forward, especially with bye weeks now starting. So Zay Jones would be another option. Jameson Williams. Yes, the Lions are on bye this week, but he is looking to return after their bye week. And I really like Jameson Williams. You know, he is one of the rookies that I like the most coming out of this year's draft. They played the slow game with him, kind of bringing him along slowly. Suffered that torn ACL, you know, what was that, in January, you know, in the national title game. So Jameson Williams could be a really big-time second half addition to your fantasy rosters. Somebody that, you know, maybe take a couple of weeks to get going, but once he does, this offense looks like it's still going to be pretty good. Yes, it wasn't very good today at all, but I think moving forward, I think you can expect this offense, once everybody's back fully healthy, DeAndre Swift will also be back after their bye. So Jameson Williams is a name that I am definitely looking to add. I'm not waiting around to see how he's going to look. I want Jameson Williams. I think he's going to take over, you know, probably this wide receiver 2 role, you know, probably the outside guy, something that they were hoping DJ Chark could be. And then I think Josh Reynolds probably slides to that wide receiver 3 job here. So Jameson Williams is a guy that I'm definitely looking to add. And then Rondale Moore, 18% rostered. Moore is finally healthy. He's been targeted 13 times over the past 2 games. He caught 7 of 8 for 68 yards today against the Eagles secondary. Now, DeAndre Hopkins is scheduled to be back after this week. So I actually think that's a good thing for this offense, though. I think they could use another weapon here in this offense, and I think it could actually make them more explosive. So Rondale Moore, I expect him to slide into the slot and play primarily in the slot with AJ Green and DeAndre Hopkins playing on the outside. So actually, you know, this is the same role that Christian Kirk played last year, and it proved to be a very lucrative role for him. So I do think Rondale Moore is somebody that makes a lot of sense, and he's starting to see a lot more targets. So we'll see how that moves moving forward, but I do like Rondale Moore. And then the rest of these guys are like 12-team and higher. Khalil Shakir today caught 3 of 5 for 75 yards and a touchdown as they absolutely destroyed the Steelers today. But I do think that while he's not a priority ad for me is because Isaiah McKenzie and James Crowder both missed today. Isaiah McKenzie likely is back after this week. And I think at best they probably split opportunities here. And then once James Crowder back, it's going to be more opportunity. But I think he is definitely worth a stash because if injuries happen, he did look pretty good today. He did catch, had one pretty big drop. But other than that, he looks really good in his first real game action that he's received. So Khalil Shakir is only rostered in 2% of leagues. But I wouldn't go crazy trying to add him either because I do think there's going to be a little bit more crowded backfield here or a wide receiver room. And then Odell Beckham. I put him on here. He's been meeting with teams, and he could be signing soon. And he's talked about wanting to go to the Packers and a couple other spots. And to me, like, he's probably not going to be available until November sometime, I think, is when he'll probably be ready to go. But I think over that last part of the season, he could be worthy of somebody that you're looking to start in certain leagues, especially with bye weeks still going on. So I do like adding Odell Beckham as more of a speculative ad, but I don't have high expectations because it's going to be him a little bit tough to trust. So he's going to get into another new team, another new system. Plus, he's coming off this injury. But, you know, if you're desperate, I don't mind adding Odell Beckham. And then the rest of these guys are just kind of Speculative ad, Sky Moore, you know, they are going to be playing, you know, tomorrow night, but I think he has an opportunity to take over this wide receiver two role sooner rather than later. He saw four targets last week. We'll see what he does tomorrow night. Diamond Peoples-Jones, tough to trust, but in games that they're playing from behind, he's going to see a decent target share. But, you know, I think, but as well, this is a team that really wants to run the football. You know, Deshaun Watson's not going to be back for still quite a bit of time. And then the rest of these guys are kind of, you know, flex options, guys that maybe on a weekly basis you maybe look to plug in terms of matchup and stuff like that. So those are kind of the wide receivers I'm definitely wanting to look to add. The rest of them, Devin Duvernay, Corey Davis, Kadarius Toney, you know, are all kind of speculative ads. And then Tyquan Thornton is definitely a speculative ad in 12 teams or deeper. But that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Shout out to De'Ami Brown. Just absolutely love seeing it after trying to pimp him so
yeah, hard. You know, I thought about adding him to this, but it's just Jahan Dotson's going to be back. And does, like, it,
I think
it's
just
what to trust. Like, he had a monster game today, but I don't think that's something that I would expect moving forward.
No.
He's not somebody that I want people to go out and like think, oh, I got to add this guy. Because Jahan Dotson is definitely coming back.
Yeah, I just had to throw that in there for my own sake. It was a rough day for me. So seeing De'Ami Brown,
a couple of those catches he made today were excellent.
Yeah. So I gotta cling on to something. So that's what I'm clinging on to. Let's wrap it up with the tight ends, and you know, let's get this one out of the way. Taysom Hill, obviously, what he's doing is not sustainable. The dude's listed as a tight end. Had no targets, 9 carries, 1 pass attempt, and racked up 4 touchdowns today. Having said that, this is an awful position, and he clearly has the highest upside because of how he's utilized over any of these guys that I'm going to mention. So if you are comfortable just rolling the dice and knowing that it could be a literal zero burger, because that's what we saw after week 1, right? Goes into week, he blew up week 1, week 2 does nothing. Then he, you know, obviously he was banged up with that rib injury. And then, you know, we haven't really heard much from him. And then today just absolutely goes off over 100 rushing yards. Like I said, threw 1 pass, 22 yards and a touchdown, 3 rushing scores. But it is what it is at tight end. So like I said, if you want to just completely roll the dice, that is absolutely the way to go. It's, you know, it's super, super point chasey. But again, this is tight end we're talking about. So, you know, definitely not a bad place to be taking chances like that. But some of the other options we have here, Mike Gesicki. This one is more dependent on what ends up happening with the Miami pass catchers. Going up against Minnesota, Tyreek Hill was in a boot after the game. Waddle's obviously been dealing with an injury. So he's more of a desperation stream. I think he had 2 targets and caught 1 of them for 30 yards today. So it's ugly out there. Hunter Henry, again, this is kind of injury dependent. If Jonnu Smith is out, going up against Cleveland in week 6, caught 4 of his 5 targets for 54 yards. You know, Bailey Zappe out there just slinging the rock. Irv Smith going up against Miami. Going into week 5, the Dolphins were allowing the 6th most PPR points per game. He's going to be another one of these hit and miss, you know, type of tight ends. But he did see 5 targets today, caught 4 for 42. Evan Engram going up against the Colts in week 6. Again, heading into this week, Colts were giving up the 9th most PPR points per game. He did see 10 targets in this game. Obviously, with Christian Kirk having a down game, I don't expect that to replicate. I think he's only seen more than 5 targets twice this week. He's only had more than 40 yards twice this year as well. Saw 10 targets today, went 6 for 69. But we do know, even just going into back to the offseason, that this offense has not been shy, or I guess I should say Doug Peterson has not been shy about saying that he wants the tight end to be an integral part of this offense. So could be in worse spots. And, you know, Robert Tonyan going up against the Jets, you know, like I said last week, he's going to have the best quarterback tied to him out of this group. So, you know, Robert Tonyan is never a bad option as well. So let's go ahead and wrap this up with a couple of the comments and questions that we have here in the chat. Going up to Kyle, George Pickens for Raheem Mostert. Is that a fair trade? Full PPR. I need a running back and he needs a wide receiver.
I don't mind it. I think it's I think that's fair. Raheem Mostert's going to be hard to trust, I think, just because with Chase Edmonds still looming there, and you never know if it could switch. And then obviously Raheem Mostert's injury history, like that feels kind of like a sell high, because you know trusting him to stay healthy is tough. But I don't mind either because George, you know, because George Pickens is also going to be tough to trust in the Steelers' offense because they're so bad, so bad the Steelers team. You know, but
and it was another week where Mostert was the clear cut option at running back as well. Played 46 snaps to Chase Edmonds 10, ran 20 routes as well, which is something that he hasn't particularly done too much. Only amounted to 2 targets, with the fact that he's running 20 of them. And then Miles Gaskin actually had more snaps today than Chase Edmonds. Gaskin had 13, Edmonds 10. So
yeah, so I don't mind this because I mean I don't think George Pickens has like some crazy ceiling. Moving forward, but so I don't mind doing this, if you, especially if you're in need of running back. And no, we're not dropping Elijah.
Uzi, not entirely sure on the injuries. Connor was a rib injury. I don't know the extent of the damage or anything like that, but that normally ends up being more of a pain tolerance sort of thing. Then Schultz looked like he just re-aggravated his knee, so we'll have to see what happens with him. But obviously that is not a great sign. It looks like he just ran into a defender and then ended up twisting a little bit and then limped off. So not entirely sure on the extent or if they're expected to miss, you know, any time going forward. We'll still have to wait until, you know, Monday and Tuesday really before we start to see any sort of that kind of news. Alexis is 1-4, got the underachiever award 3 times already. 5th in points in a 12-team league. Do I give up and trade my players for picks or try again next week? I think this is for a keeper league for Alexis, if I'm remembering correctly.
I don't think I would give up yet. Because at this point, like I said, it's always about, you know, you're just trying to make the playoffs at this point. You're trying to get 6. Who cares about first at this point? You know, so if you can finish 6th in your league, you know, and sneak into the playoffs, you know, anything can happen from there. So I mean, I would start treating this as like a GPP, like type of mindset every week. You play strictly matchups. You don't really care about, you know, you're not worried about just playing your studs and all that stuff anymore. You're just looking at the best matchups for every player, and then those are the guys you're trying to roll with every week. Because at this point, you need to rack up wins. So,
Kenny Golladay, dead or worth a shot here for ML?
No, he's dead. Like he's just not any good. Like I honestly think he was just a product of Matthew Stafford, and he should be donating a portion of his salary to Stafford because he's been dreadful, really, for a while. And so he's dead. I think once Wandell Robinson comes back and Kadarius Toney are able to make it back, I think those will be the guys that take over this. But Kenny Golladay could end up being dropped or traded. To be honest, at this point, who knows?
Man, Uzi with a rough beat here, finished 15th in the Millie.
That's still a nice little payday. 15th in the Millie Maker is still pretty solid. I don't know how many entries you put in, but that's still a pretty good day. 15th in the Millie Maker. So
having Olave leave and then Godwin not, you know, Godwin didn't have a bad day, but it looked like he was headed for a pretty big day with how involved he was early on in that game. That sucks, Uzi. But like Kev said, 15th in the Millie is not a bad place to be. Is Khalil Herbert, Romeo Doubs for Terry a good trade?
I think I'd rather have Khalil Herbert and Romeo Doubs. I don't know.
I mean, I could see a case for the upside residing with them. You know, like kind of like if
right. That's kind of how I would look at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just feel like those guys have higher ceilings versus Terry. I think, you know, Terry could still be a high-end wide receiver 3, low-end wide receiver 2. So I don't hate the trade. But I just feel like if I'm going to trade those guys, I'd rather move something different or get something in different return. So I don't think he has a much of a ceiling.
RJ, 12-team PPR, 2-2 stacked on RBs. JT, Saquon, Pierce, Ramondre, Brian Robinson, Eli Mitchell, and IR. Do I use my number one waiver pickup on Walker? Probably drop Tua if I do.
Yes. I don't think you're going to find a better option this year in terms of just ceiling. Because if he's out for the year, this is Kid Walker's backfield. There's nobody else that we have to really be concerned with in this team. And this would be the time to use it. would be to use to pick up Kenneth Walker, just because of what he brings. And this offense looks a lot better than what we thought it was going to. And if that continues, I think there's going to be a lot more opportunities for Kenneth Walker. And there's just nobody else here in this backfield. So, yes, this is what you held on to it for, and this would be the time that I would use it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we've seen, you know, the running back position has been really hit and miss this year. We haven't, you know, outside of Javonte, you know, we haven't had a massive injury. So, at the very worst, you're going to have some pieces that you're going to be able to move. They're going to be very valuable, you know, if things – If those players end up staying on your roster, you're going to have some nice trade bait to move there. And Alexis wants to know, do I just stream tight ends until Schultz comes back? I will try for Taysom Hill, but I don't know how much fab I should spend on him. Started with 200, sitting at 150 right now.
I mean, I think you could actually probably drop Dalton Schultz at this point. This feels like an injury that's going to be lingering for him for a while. And I don't know.
Gallup back.
Yeah. Obviously, Dak Prescott should be back sooner rather than later. But I don't know. I don't think you need to hold on to Dalton Schultz at this point if you had to. But the thing is with Taysom Hill, and like we talked about, like I get it because the upside is immense, and they may continue, as well as he played today, he may continue to get more opportunities. But and then the tight end position is so rough. But one, if he were to, like we were talking about, because if he were to turn into a quarterback, it would be very similar to what happened a couple years ago. And what will happen is ESPN, Yahoo, whatever you're playing on, they will switch him to just a quarterback, and you can keep him in that tight end spot, but you cannot make another move until you move him out. So let's say next week they turn to him at quarterback, right? And that's what happened. Then you would lose him at tight end, and then you would basically not be able to make another move. You couldn't adjust your roster. You can't do anything until you move him out. So while, yes, it's a cheat code, if something like that were to happen, he's still tough to trust because he's not getting a ton of opportunity. Right, like it was just one of those. I mean, it's about as efficient of a day you possibly could have as what he had today. He's gonna have weeks like this, but you're not gonna know when to play him and when not to play him, and that's the tough part with him. But because of how bad the tight end position is, that's why there is some appeal to him. So, but I'm not gonna go crazy because people are gonna go crazy and drop some crazy amount of fab on him. I would guys that go out and score this kind of points, people will go crazy on it. I would maybe use. Maybe 15%, 10% of your fab. I'm not unloading for Taysom Hill.
Yeah, that's right where I was going to say, like that $10 to $15 range. If you're saying 10% of 150, that kind of puts us, you know, right in that same range. I'm the same way. Like you said, cheat code, all that, but it's going to be one of those things where next week he goes out. What if he gets you 4, and then you're like, well, I'll just roll him out again. He gets you 2 the next week, and then you're like, all right, I've had enough. I'm going to bench him, or I'm going to cut him, and that's when he ends up going off. Kev, you're just talking about dropping Schultz. Would you drop Schultz if you had Higbee?
Yeah. Yes.
And would you trade for a tight end or just stream, kind of going on more with what Alexis is asking? Have Jacoby Myers and Jeff Wilson that I could use as trade bait?
I don't think you're going to be able to, like, what are you trading for? Like who? Like there's like, I think the top end guys are really hard to get. Like if I was going to try to trade for somebody, maybe you try to trade for like Kyle Pitts because his value is never lower than it is right now. And like, he may be an option, and Drake London did get a little banged up today. But I don't know. I think I probably just stream. It just depends on, you know, kind of who's out there. But I feel like that I'm not trading a ton to get a tight end. But there's also, like, to go up to the elite tier is going to cost you a lot to be able to get, like, a, you know, Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce type tight end. I mean, maybe if you wanted to try to go for, like, a David Njoku, depending on, you know, you might be able to do something like that because David Njoku has been really good so far to start the season. And but past that, like, I think you're better off just streaming.
Yeah, if you're using, you know, Jacoby Myers and Jeff Wilson as your trade bait, you're probably not going to get too far there at tight end. Like the tight ends you're going to be trading for are probably going to be in that streaming value anyway. So I would just hold on to those guys there, Alexis. Like, you know, like Kev said, unless you want to get crazy and try and go up for one of those higher end options. But then you're probably going to have a tight end in return, which obviously at this point, if you have Schultz, you do not. So, you know, maybe if you magically end up winning Taysom Hill, you can try and package him with one of those guys to go up and, you know, maybe get a Pitts or something like that. But other than that, I would just stream there and not really be looking to give up any of those players. But appreciate you guys rocking with us. Please hit us with a sub and a like. Any other questions, jump into our free Discord, or you can leave a comment on any of our other YouTube videos, and we'll make sure that we answer them over there. Appreciate you all. Have a really nice week 5. On to week 6. Goodbye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.